Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's on the radio.
We are on the radio, and we are online on umfm.com, and I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
We talk about video games.
Well,
we play a lot of video games, we collect a lot of video games, we love video games, we have a lot of issues with video games, but mostly we do love video games? I think I said that, but
yeah, no, video games are something that I care a lot about. Yeah.
It's a very cool medium.
And it's sad. It's sad, and yeah, I take joy in its achievements, and I'm sad when it screws up, which is a lot of the time.
The industry, that is. Yeah,
I was like, thusly, so I'm sad a lot of the time. No. Well, not just due to video games. But yeah. Video games.
So we did very good this past week. One of the ongoing things we have is finishing video games. Well, one of the challenges I have is finishing video games.
Well, and I felt that my requirements that I had, well, my requirements that I was doing were done. And so I was like, I can play video games now. And I did. And I beat one in 3 days. Like, from the start of me being like, I can play video games now, I went and did that. So I'm pretty good with what I did. You know what I mean?
So tell me what video game you finished.
Well, yeah, I finished Control. I started and finished Control. I started it on Thursday and beat it on Saturday.
By Remedy Studios.
Yeah, by, and it's so funny. It's because I knew this. It's just like things just leave my mind or get pushed out along the way. But this has very direct connections to the other series by Remedy, which is Alan Wake. Which is so funny that I finally made the connection, because I'm almost 100% sure I knew this. Like, some part of me deep down was like, hey, the Alan Wake game. Alan Wake connections. I heard about that. But I blocked that out. The reason I realized it is because in the game, there's a band called the Gods, the Old Gods of Asgard or something like that. And I was like, hey, I'm pretty sure that's the band that did Alan Wake. Which is kind of funny that that's where I was like, that's the part that I remembered from Alan Wake and made the connection there. And it's also like a later part of the game as well that this song shows up. But I was like, I got there.
You got there.
And I would say, after realizing this, this game makes so much more sense. So Control, you play, her name is Jessie Faden, and you become the director of this organization called the Federal Bureau of Control. And there are similarities of the made-up world of, like, SCPs, which are sort of, like, it's also sort of a made-up government organization, but it's sort of, like, by everybody online, it's sort of a crowdsourced kind of thing, crowdsourced internet thing.
It was like a copy-pasta situation.
Yeah, a little bit.
Copy-paste, I should say.
Yeah. But this does take, I want to say, inspiration from that, but also from just like every other FBI, horror, thriller, sci-fi, psychological genre, which is sort of similar to what Alan Wake did. Like, Alan Wake was very in the lines of
a Stephen King
slash, what is it? I know it in Futurama, it's called The Scary Door.
Twilight Zone?
Thank you. Because they also have their own sort of Twilight Zone in Alan Wake as well. I think it's called Night Springs, I think. But anyway, so this game, it was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. I can see where people don't like the ending, and I can also see it as they're setting it up for, like, a bunch of other games. Like,
right.
This is, yeah, and I get that. And I'm mostly fine with it. There are things about, like, this company's practices that I'm not fine with. Like, there's something that they're doing for the PlayStation 5 where I think you have to buy this game again rather than it being backwards compatible, which, you know, we'll see why they're doing that, if it's worth it in the end. Like, they are coming out with an expansion very soon for Control, actually, and it's called the AWE, which is funny because that's a thing in the game. They're called Altered World Events. but in this case, it actually has, it's basically the Alan Wake expansion, which is really funny. Like, it just happened that, you know, oh yeah, same thing. And he's, yeah, Alan Wake is in this, and is actually, you know, now we have the very, very direct connection where you're the character, the main character from Control meets the main character from Alan Wake, who is Alan Wake.
Although, if this is how they're going to be releasing this edition, specifically on the PlayStation 5...
Not this one. I'm talking about when they're doing something for the PlayStation 5 where you have to rebuy it rather than it being backwards compatible.
Yes.
Not saying this DLC is.
No, but when they do release this for PlayStation 5, like, I think this is going to be one of the first games we do get for it because it is a lot of fun.
I like it so much that I would like a physical copy. Like, I enjoyed this game a lot. There's a lot about it that is just very specifically like it. There's a lot of flavor text. Like, there's a lot of notes. There's a lot of movies. And a lot of... They had started doing this in the Alan Wake... I don't know. It's not a sequel, but it's kind of like a full-fledged mini-game spinoff, which is Alan Wake's Nightmare.
American Nightmare.
I was like, I'm missing a word. But they started doing in that where they had live action cutscenes or live action just video. And they do this a lot in this game. And I think it works to their benefit because they do it in a way where it's either video recordings that's sort of prior to the fact. They also do some like puppets that are very effective. They're kind of terrifying and sort of imply darker things about the organization that you're a part of, like that. They have maybe children as recruits to an extent. There's something. Like, this game, and the reason why I'm like, people won't maybe like the ending, this is because there's going to be more game. Like, it's setting it up for more stuff, and so not all the questions are answered, which for me is kind of like, I like that. Because I will get more video game, but at the same time, there's questions that I feel could be answered at this point in time that absolutely are not. And they won't be until the next game comes out. And I don't know when that'll happen. It'll be a PlayStation 5 thing, I assume. But, yeah. I haven't played the DLC. I would like to play it. But, yeah, I really like the combat in this game. Like, basically... in the game is the whole organization. It's this house that sort of, I want to say it's a little bit like interdimensional, where it's like bigger than it looks, or there's more rooms, or there's places that just lead to the building also like shifts on itself. And at the point that you come in, it's sort of under lockdown from this thing called, which Jesse names called the Hiss. And it's sort of this force that has appeared somewhere and it's taking over people at the Bureau. And, yeah, there are things about, like, the Hiss as an enemy is really cool in concept, but the enemy... My one thing about the game that I really didn't care for was the style of enemies. Like, they're very generic. They're kind of like glowy red guys, but they're all the same dude, and they just have different guns and a little bit different power.
Yeah, some of them fly and no variation.
Yeah, and for something as cool as some like basing or having some ideas from things like SCPs, I wanted a little bit more monstery things because they have a lot of objects. You know what I mean? And they do have like there is a couple of Hiss monster or creatures that are monstery, and even so far there is a boss. There's two bosses that are more monstery, but they are like side bosses. Like, they're not actually
optional bosses.
Yeah, and they're not a part of the Hiss, which is the main boss.
See, that's where in the sequel, when they eventually do come out with a sequel, is giving more other creatures instead of human-based powers and object-based powers, which seem to be...
I will say, like, there's probably a very good reason why. Like, they probably thought about the reason why. And I would say the reason might also be it was a little bit easier, but there's probably, like, a lore reason why the Hiss are only like that. But it doesn't account for certain other Hiss things. So, it you know, like, I can take it. I just wish it was a little more creative. I could see that they are only humanoid because maybe the hiss only has can take over humanoid stuff, and that's all that there is in this building.
Right.
But yeah, I would like there to be more monsters. I think that would be cool. I think the scariest creatures in like Control, or the most effective, like at scaring me or getting me unnerved, were like the creature ones, like
right.
The hiss creature. That's I call it the bird because it kind of I think it screeches kind of like a bird. And it kind of feels like it has wings and a beak. I don't really remember what it's called, but it turns invisible and it's terrifying.
It's
and I hate
the scariest,
them.
Yeah.
Because they're also really quiet until they screech and like murder you. Yeah, and then the other ones that also scared me were, like, there's these mold kind of mushroom. They're a little similar. I want to say they kind of remind me of clickers in a way, but at the same time not, because they're not fast at all. They just sort of slowly move towards you, and they're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to give you a hug, and you're not going to like it.
Clickers from The Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us. So sort of like a mushroom head sort of situation, fungal head. They're a kind of fungus. They do explain it that it's not actually a fungus. That's just how.
That's the best way they have to
yeah.
describe what it is.
Yeah. But overall, yes. Monster designs are something that I would love for them to fix. Otherwise, most of this game I love. I love how it looks. I love the aesthetics. The other thing I didn't like was maybe the fact that save points or, well, not spawn, I'll call them spawn points.
Control points is what they...
Yeah, they're spawn points. And, like, if we want to get technical, they're, like, and you were talking about how it's kind of, like, there were Dark Souls similarities. And I don't want to say that, you know, it's a specific Dark Souls thing, but there are things that I'm like, this does remind me of Dark Souls. And it was one specifically... running to bosses, like doing basically after dying from a boss, you will respawn at, you know, you won't respawn right outside the boss room. Just that's not how it works.
You still have to go through some of the level, and sometimes you still have to do some combat before you get there.
Or you don't have to. And see, that's what I was remembered about Dark Souls boss runs. It was like you can avoid things. And this game does let you, like, this game also doesn't handhold a lot. That was the other thing about this game. And I think it has a steep learning curve for people who aren't willing to stick with it sort of thing. Because it doesn't teach you the best way to do things. It lets you learn on your own, which is a very, I guess it is kind of Dark Souls-y or Souls-y in that way. Where they're like, here's how you block and here's how you attack. Bye. Enjoy. Hope you don't die too much, I guess.
It is fun, though. Like, I am now at the point where I can levitate, and I'm having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, there's lots of powers. I do like the way you can sort of, you can differentiate in specialization. I've made myself overpowered at this point, which is fine. Like, that's sort of how I like to live my life in games. Like, if I could have got to a higher level sooner, I would have, but... It's actually one of the side quests was harder than, you know, like, the main quest. I finally beat it, though. I was very proud of myself.
You should be proud of yourself.
It was hard. and because this game also does not have a... It doesn't have an easy mode. I feel that maybe could detriment it to some people, right? Because there is a lack of accessibility in this.
I will give it props for its subtitles, because you do get the option of making them larger.
The subtitles
and also to having
good.
A background on them as well, so that you can read them more clearly.
Yeah. There are things that were great about it. There are things that I could be like, you could do better in, like, your next game. I could see improvements. But there's a lot of really, really, really cool things. Like, I was mentioning sort of, like, the live action thing, and they utilize a lot, I was even going to say, in the form of the other director who is dead, and he can contact you via this, it's a phone, which is neat, obviously, it's a phone, but it's like, he's dead, so, you know, you're not really talking to him more, that he's just explaining stuff, and they represent it as this great double silhouette, as you're walking, and it's sort of in the center of your screen, and he'll be talking, and it's just very visually really, really, really cool. Like, they do a lot of excellent visual things in this game.
That's the thing with Remedy, is they don't want to go into too much of the non-believability of their universes they make. Like, they want it to be like a movie where you can still get yourself lost in the story.
Oh, yeah, this game is entirely, like, it's incredibly cinematic. Same, like, and you could say that about the Alan Wake games to an extent. I would say, yeah, Alan Wake games maybe weren't as pretty, but that is also, like, Alan
Wake games. They're from 2010.
Yeah, Alan Wake game was...
They get that pass.
And I still liked Alan Wake a lot. I thought it was an interesting game. I actually haven't played the sequel, which I think is kind of maybe one of the more interesting parts of it. And I think it actually... Well, this, and by the sequel, I mean that American Nightmare, which is a sequel DLC. I don't know. It technically wasn't a full other game.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to play it until we get our hands on either an Xbox or a computer, a better computer.
Yeah.
Because they're not PlayStation games, really.
No, they're not. And they never, like, I played Alan Wake on the PC. That's how I played it back when I had a functional PC. And here's the thing, Alan Wake's, it is a very fun game, but it's a little more survival horror-y than something like Control, which is just sort of, it does have, Control definitely has spooky elements. Like, there are lots of times within Control I was like, I don't like, it's lots of dark hallways, and they really set up the atmosphere really well. It's cool. Like, I like the mystery to it. There's a lot of interesting mystery. Like, and once again, there's lots of stuff that isn't solved, which I have my qualms with, but I get that it's because we're going to get more, which I'm okay with, you know.
It's a very X-Files-y flavor going on here.
Yeah, like, there's parts of it that are definitely X-Files-y in terms of, like, I want to say there's a, I don't trust the organization that you're a part of. I'm assuming that's, and there, I think there are valid reasons not to be, and I think your character herself is sort of like, she doesn't really want the position that is thrust upon her, which is being the director of this organization, because it's a big deal, you know, but, and I think that'll come out more. I don't know how many games they're assuming to have, like, you never want it to be, like, more than, in my mind, just because you never know.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, I guess we might never know. It might be very much Dark Souls-y where it's up to interpretation, right? Like, they give us a little bit of info, and there you go. Like,
they're not going to hand you all the answers on a silver plate. There you go. There's all of the lore.
Yeah, which, once again, like, most of... No, I don't want to say most of the interesting parts, but a lot of just extra interesting information about characters or stuff or quests is in papers that you pick up, and it's like notes from people or memos, lots of redacted stuff, which is cool. I actually haven't checked out if now that I'm director, it will be unredacted, which I think it might be, which would be real cool. But yeah, I really enjoyed this game. I'm probably going to fiddle around and play a little bit more and see if I can get the DLC. But yeah. Yeah.
So you finished that game, and I finally finished Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
I finished a game, everybody.
A pretty beefy game.
Yes, and it was also incredibly cinematic.
I'm kidding.
I think it's going to be one of my favorite games of 2020, for sure.
I bet it will be Game of the Year. Like, I can't think of anything else. Like, I mean, Last of Us Part 2, but it won't beat out Ghost of Tsushima for the fact that Ghost of Tsushima, to be honest, is maybe a little more feel-good, like, no offense. Like, there is a lot of, like, Debbie Downer stuff in Ghost of Tsushima, like, 100%. But
it has not been hit with the controversy that Last of Us has been hit with.
Yeah, and it's, just, like, the negative, I don't know, there's a lot of negativity around that game. It's a game, like, literally the director is like, this is a game about hate. I don't think Ghost of Tsushima is about that. No. It is just sort of, it's very beautiful. I don't know, like, I'm not going to say Last of Us Part 2 probably isn't beautiful, but I do think it will suffer from the same thing it had in the other one, where it was a little brown, green, gray situation. But that's just the nature of the genre a little bit.
But no, Ghost of Tsushima, beautiful game, lots of fun combat. It's, again, it does suffer from having a fairly predictable storyline, fairly standard storyline, but it wasn't bad. No. And you kind of
get a movie. It's like a movie. You're watching a movie that you're like, you're just in it to enjoy the story or just enjoy the visuals, right?
Right. And it hit me with some feels in a couple spots because
stuff happens.
And that's to me, a sign of good storytelling is if I happen to enjoy the character's highs and feel their lows, then. Yeah. That's some good writing there. That's for me, at least.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what Sucker Punch comes out with if they're planning a sequel, which they totally leave it that there could be, especially since historically there was another Mongol invasion on the mainland like 7 years after.
Okay.
So I want to see more of this. I want to play more of this. This was fun, and I am so glad we picked it up.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it. I could see them learning from the something completely different. Like, maybe in sort of, I don't want to say the same universe, but sort of in the same, like, not even the same, like, take place in Japan. But I think they have a lot that they can do with what they have learned off of, like, Ghost of Tsushima sort of thing. Like, and I would like to see them do something other than, a sequel is kind of, it's easy. Like, I'm not going to say, easy in the way, like, yeah, you could do it. You could for sure do a sequel 100% and people would buy it. I'd buy it. It'd probably be good. But Sucker Punch does do sequels. Like, it's not like they don't do sequels. There's, like, 4 or 5 Sly Coopers.
Many infamouses. They do Sly Cooper.
Right. Like, I think that they could make, they could keep going sort of thing.
If they wanted to keep playing, like, these cinematic genres, like, they could easily go from samurai flick to cowboy flick to space opera flick.
I don't want cowboys, though.
No, we don't need more cowboys. But this would translate very well into, like, a space opera.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I feel that they could do sort of what they have.
Yes.
And it could be, it doesn't need to be more Ghost of Tsushima. I would take DLC. I'll take DLC.
Yeah. Especially since there is, unfortunately, no New Game Plus, which would have been really cool, but I can see why.
I could see them adding that in, maybe.
Yes.
We'll see how they wouldn't do that, though. Because story-wise, there are items tied to plot. I think that's why they probably wouldn't. But regardless, yeah. Give me another one. Don't give me another one. Give me something totally different. Either or, I'm good. Great with that.
So now I gotta go and find another game to spend hours and hours and hours on. However, in a few days' time, we should be getting Moon, the classic RPG for Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be released on the 27th, so we'll be checking that out. I am so excited for that one.
So I'm going to, I'm going to interject. Have you heard about Free Fortnite, Megan? Hashtag Free Fortnite? I think we should touch on this just because it's ridiculous, I feel, a little bit.
This is Epic Games arguing with Apple.
And Google.
So
they broke the, like, and here's the thing, like, there's no winners in, well, there will be maybe a quote unquote winner, but at the end, the person who loses out is, like, us, the people who play video games, not the, like, multi-billion corporations that, here's the thing, Epic, who owns Fortnite, etc., they broke the rules. That's, and so Apple and Google took them off their Play stores accordingly because they broke the rules.
Right.
Epic then is going to sue them and also sort of already had a campaign ready, for just in case, something like this would have happened if they decided to break the rules. Like, I'm going to say they had a really, a parody video or whatever, a promotion video up real fast right after this.
They knew they were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing as far.
And I think the one thing that I feel is kind of, I don't really like, and I'm not trying to take Apple or Google's side, because I think the amount that Apple and Google do take from, like, developers, it's 30%, which is not great. It is pretty steep. And I would say, yeah, Apple should stop doing that. I would say, in fact, like, they did sign contracts. They aren't, and they aren't, like, you know, the little indie underdog that they're trying to make themselves out to be in this situation.
They're a massive...
Well, they own Fortnite. Yeah. Like, once again, people who don't even play video games know about Fortnite. Like, people who have never, like... talk to anybody who play video games are like, yeah, oh yeah, Fortnite, right? I love that. I'm aware of that.
There's dances.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And in Fortnite, you know, is a free game, but think about the amount of money it makes. Like, so, you know, they're not for wanting, but now they're utilizing, you know, their fan base to attack Apple and Google. I think Google's just sort of not really doing a lot, but... and they're going to try and sue them. We'll see how it goes. But it's just sort of like, once again, I think they're both terrible. Like, they're all, like, it's all sort of terrible. I think Epic utilizing people as well as, you know, I just like, everybody else is following the rules. You multi-billion dollar corporation. Why can't, you know, like, you, anyway, I'm not a fan of either. I think Apple taking that, that's too much. Developers, especially since there are a lot of like indie developer games on the Apple's like gameplay. Google, I don't know what I believe it's the same amount. Google, once again, they're being a little quieter about this. I think they're just gonna see how it plays out versus Apple is they're being a little more aggressive. But either way, you know, the people who lose are us, right? Because something will come out of this, whether it's legislature or something. Somebody will lose, and it won't. And if it's Apple, like, it's not going to bother them because Apple makes $1 million. And if it's Epic, it won't bother them because Epic also makes $1 million. You know, like, the people who lose will be us. Which is
the
annoying.
Gamers, yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not a gamer, Megan.
Video game enthusiasts.
There we go. But it's just something that's very interesting to keep in mind. And I would say maybe just not try not to fall for it either way. You know, like, if Fortnite was something that you played maybe on your Apple or Google phones, I guess that's a thing. You know, that is, like, a legit annoyance and, like, something that is detrimental. And, like, you know, Apple is sort of, like, you know,
they're a titan.
Yeah, they are a titan. They'll lose money, but obviously not enough that they care because, once again, Fortnite is huge. Like, they couldn't have brought or taken off a bigger game, you know. But I would say the other thing that Apple is doing, which is also very terrible and could be bad for the future of Apple games... is they're going so far as, like, they're being like, well, we won't have Unreal Engine or anything sort of, like, is a part of. Which, that's not great because
that's
lots of video game
video
developers
games.
Use
yeah.
Unreal. And it's a very versatile system. So it's, you know, once again, who is going to lose? Neither Apple nor Epic. It will be us. It's just something to keep in mind. Like, I would say there's outrage for... both sides for both good reasons, but a lot of it is for not good reasons,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's video games for you in a nutshell once again.
And to touch on the Apple Google, they're in China, they're testing Fall Guys for mobile phones.
Oh, fun.
And if it succeeds there, there's no doubt that we will be able to eventually have it here.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
We're going to be also following Games... Oh, I'll be following Gamescom, which is coming out or starts on the 27th as well.
Cool.
So there's going to be a lot of game announcements to come back to next week. And, yeah, I guess that's everything we got for you for this week. New games are coming and keep changing.
Yeah. Have a good one.